Let's read together Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 9. In this first portion of Luke chapter 16, we have the often misunderstood story or parable of the unjust steward. Luke chapter 16, beginning of verse 1. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting or squandering his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. So he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when it fails, they may receive you into an everlasting home." Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 16 with some background notes. We see in the first half of Luke chapter 16 that the Lord had some important things to teach his disciples about money. Now, if you consider yourself a disciple of the Lord Jesus, then hear and practice what the Lord teaches us here in Luke chapter 16 about the right use of money. The Lord began his teaching about handling money with what's been called the parable of the unjust steward. In the story, a certain rich man had what we would call today a financial planner or manager to care for the estate finances. It was reported to the estate owner that his financial manager was squandering the estate's property. In exactly what way, we are not told. In any case, the manager was told to write his letter of resignation because he was being terminated as an employee. The shrewd manager then quickly called his master's creditors and reduced their bills so that these folks would provide for him when he lost his job. Verse 5. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. So he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The shocking part of this story is that this wheeling and dealing manager was praised by the estate owner. This, of course, has led to a lot of misunderstanding about this story or parable for several reasons. Number one, it seems that dishonesty is being commended. Number two, it seems that the master praising unrighteousness in the parable is the Lord. And number three, it seems that the ends justify the means is being taught. Well, a closer look at this scripture shows that these apparent conclusions are not the case. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching points for this first portion of Luke chapter 16. So doctrinal point number one, believers are not commended for dishonesty. Believers are not commended for dishonesty. Now, in order to save some time, I'm reading something I wrote on this passage some years ago entitled Smart Money. Quote, "The parable of the unjust steward has been disconcerting to many Christians because of its apparent approval of dishonesty. Before we look at the Lord's application in verses 9 through 13, let's try to clear up some of the misunderstandings of verses 1 through 8 that have surrounded the story itself. First of all, it is important to notice that in verse 8, it was the master in the story, not the Lord Jesus himself, who praised the unrighteous manager. The King James Version uses the word Lord, which can be confusing. But notice that The L of Lord is not capitalized. Furthermore, the unrighteous manager was not praised for his shady accounting procedures or squandering his boss's money. He was commended only for his prudent foresight in looking out for his own future. Further possible misunderstanding is eliminated when we realize that this account is not necessarily a parable, but possibly a contemporary story which Jesus related to his disciples to illustrate his teaching on money. If we view the account as a parable, we might see the rich master as representing God or the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, such a view tends to raise questions about God's righteous standards. Even when we realize that the unrighteous manager was only commended for his foresight, the unbiblical idea that the ends justify the means seems to be implied if the rich man represents God. The fact that rich men do not appear in a favorable light in the rest of our Lord's dialogue in Luke chapter 16 may be a contextual indication that the rich man here does not represent God. Specifically, verse 8 seems to indicate that Jesus is not drawing a parallel between the rich master and God because he concludes that the people of this world, that is, both masters and managers, are very shrewd in their dealings and maneuverings with one another, especially when it comes to money. A preacher today might use a contemporary story about the shrewd dealings between a used car lot owner and his manager and their customers to illustrate how people of this world deal with one another when it comes to money. So the Lord possibly used a true story here of a rich man and his steward to illustrate how the people of this world are very sharp and calculating in financial matters. As today's preacher would press home the point that as believers, we need to be more shrewd in a good sense in the use of our money, so the Lord Jesus said that the sons of light need to be more wise in their investments. End of quote. So dishonesty is not being commended in this passage of Scripture. In fact, it might be better to refer to this passage as the story of the shrewd steward rather than the parable of the unjust steward. In any case, that is what the Lord is commending here, the wise and shrewd use of money in view of the future and in view of the fact that you can't take it with you. Let's face it, believers who are the sons of light do some stupid things with their money. Would you agree? And that brings us to our second doctrinal point. Doctrinal point number 2, believers are commended for prudence. Believers are commended for prudence. So doctrinal point number 1 was believers are not commended for dishonesty. Doctrinal point number 2, believers are commended for prudence. To be prudent means to think ahead and use good judgment and common sense in handling practical matters. That is what's being commended here in this portion of Luke chapter 16. Once again, I'm reading from the Devotions for Growing Christians entitled Smart Money. Quote, historically speaking, all kinds of shrewd dealings may have been going on here between the master, the manager, and even the creditors. The master may have been involved in overcharging or in charging interest, which was illegal, according to Deuteronomy chapter 23. The squandering manager, who was probably in charge of running the master's entire estate, could have been carrying out the master's unscrupulous policies or overcharging the creditors himself in order to line his own pockets. The steward may have manipulated the books to reduce the debts of the creditors, who were probably sharecropper-type tenants on the estate, to a fair price, free of interest, or free from his own profit. By doing this, the steward insured himself future friends, if he should ever need their help. The creditors, of course, were more than willing to be involved in the, quote, justified cover-up. But by doing so, they put themselves in the vulnerable position of being blackmailed in the future by the unscrupulous manager. The rich master, probably to save face and reputation, reluctantly commended the unrighteous manager for his clever forethought, in spite of his wheeling and dealing. It is not possible to know the exact historical scenario, But the overall application that our Lord makes about money in verse 9 cannot be missed. In these verses, Christ teaches us what constitutes a truly smart and wise view of money. If we learn and practice these basic financial principles, we are well on the road to spiritual maturity. In verse 9, we are told to exchange our money for converts. We cannot buy salvation for ourselves or anyone else, but we can use the mammon of unrighteousness, that is money, to help pave the way for people to meet Christ. Money can buy Bibles and radio time in order to reach the lost in faraway places. Money can send food and medicine to people who need to see Christ's love in action. Money can support local churches and ministries which faithfully proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. You can't take it with you, but you can exchange your money for souls who will greet you when you reach heaven. When it, that is money, fails, they, the converts, will receive you into the eternal dwellings, that is heaven. How would you like to experience the eternal joy of having people from all over the world thank you in heaven for helping them come to Christ? Then stop hoarding your money and exchange it for souls. End of quote. Now you can read the rest of this essay entitled Smart Money on our website, www.growingchristians.org. Let me ask you, are you prudent in the use of your money? Not in view of retirement in this life, but in view of retirement and reward in eternity. Believers are commended for prudence. Now, what about practical application from this first portion of Luke chapter 16? Don't be a financial failure. Don't be a financial failure. Question: what's a sure way to become a financial failure? Answer: according to our Lord, it's to become a financial success by this world's standards. Verse 9, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon or money, that when it fails, they may receive you into an everlasting home. If you end up in this life with a large bank account and large material and financial holdings, you are a financial failure as far as God is concerned, because you did not transfer those funds to your heavenly bank account. And when the mammon of unrighteousness, that is money, fails, and it will fail, you will be a pauper because you did not lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. Now, how do you transfer money to your heavenly bank account where it's safe and the perfect investment, as well as the only way that you can take it with you? Answer: you give it to the Lord's work now. Not to everyone who has a handout, but where you see souls being saved and blessed. That's a wise transfer of funds. And you will be welcomed into heaven by many folks that you've never met before. But they will be there and blessed because you gave. And you will never regret it. So don't be a financial failure.